Blog Talk Radio.
Viv, can you call or somebody? Hey, 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 hey. Oh, you're not on yet. Okay. I'm ready to go. Are you guys ready? Hi, it's Rob. Welcome. Everything okay? Sounds okay?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Do we mute?
Yeah, I'll mute you guys.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. If I hear one more person say, New Year, New Me, I am going to lose it. You people realize, new doesn't mean good, right? Just ask Megadeth's last 8 albums. I said it. The Metal Injection Live cast starts now.
Wow, it sounds like Cryptic Writings is Chuck Landington's last favorable Megadeth record. That's just one thing we learned on the first ever edition of the Metal Injection Live cast in the year 2021. And I want to take a quick moment to wish one of the four pillars of the Metal Injection Live cast, Durinsky, you handsome man, happy birthday. And for his birthday, Durinsky has yet to unmute his mic. So happy birthday, Durinsky. And welcome to the show. And also welcome Sid and Noah.
Thank you.
Whose birthday it is not. Welcome, Noah. Welcome, Sid.
Thanks.
And you can be a part of the show if you give us a ring. The number is 213-WHY-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. I jokingly said that anybody that calls in to wish Darren a happy birthday, I will take a bong rip for you. So just for you, for Darren. For Darren, for you.
Wait, however, what's everyone else going to do?
Watch me. And also, you know, if you are a diehard Metal Injection Live cast star, one of those folks that just likes to go and listen to our archives, which are all available for free on wherever you get your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all that jazz. And, you know, if you want a little more, you can always hit up our Patreon, where we have at least lately, we've been doing 2 bonus episodes a month. And in addition to the bonus episodes, you also get the video version of the Metal Injection Livecast every week right after the show is over. And you can get that by going to patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. And this month, we just posted a brand new episode. It's getting rave reviews from our Patreon Livecast stars. Darren, why don't you tell us what the episode this month is?
I'm sorry,
the bonus Patreon.
The Meme Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Correct.
We spent a full episode talking about 2 of our classic memes, The Iron Sheik and Doug Levison. Both. In fact, we planned to do a bunch more of them, but those were so engrossing that we didn't even get to finish to squeeze anything else into that episode.
That's right. We planned to do 4 entries into the Hall of Fame, and we spent so long on the Iron Sheik and then eventually so much on Douglas Levison that we're like, this is a whole episode. We're done here. So we're going to do many, many more instances of the live cast Hall of Fame throughout the year, where we revisit some of our favorite memes throughout the 12-year history of the show and kind of like almost rediscover them for the first time and explain the origin of a lot of them. And I feel like with the Iron Sheik one in particular, we went back and watched the video that kind of made him a viral star. And in a way, it was almost like watching it for the first time again. And I really enjoyed that.
It was like we were rekindling our romance with Iron Sheik. We were in a loveless marriage for a while. Decided to go to therapy to rekindle it.
It worked. Mission accomplished.
And then he hit us with a Kindle.
And of course, with Douglas Levison, it was just always a pleasure to revisit him. Crazy to think about how long ago that clip originally surfaced.
And to have it on video and just watch it like as part of the experience, the podcast experience.
And that he's still alive and looks exactly the same. Hasn't aged a day, although he already looked 107 then.
All that could be on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjection. Livecast.
Don't include the burp pause.
Yeah, that's a different site.
Metal Injection, patreon.com/metalinjection livecast. I'm getting confused here. I do want to first start with some not so funny news and some actually very sad news. We learned this week, yesterday, in fact, Alexi Laiho of Children of Bodom passed away. And I feel like it hit us extra hard here because, of course, Alexi was Noah's doppelganger.
And Noah killed off her secret side character. She was tired of doing it.
I didn't kill him. Actually, I feel like I'm the one who pointed to Rob that he looked like he was dying. And we talked about it several months ago.
Well, he's had some health issues in the last few years, and I guess they got the best of him.
And you didn't pass that on to him? I remember there was a news clip once with someone famous, and they had some kind of mole or something, and an audience member called in. I can't remember who this was, but they saved the person's life by saying they had a cancerous mole. So maybe you could have, you know, saved Alexei's life if you said something.
I was hoping that maybe like a journalist would have reached out to him.
We don't know any.
Yeah, we don't know any of those though. Yeah, who would that be? No, but
we had Axel from Metal Sucks last week. You could have mentioned it to him.
But seriously though, it's a really big bum. It's very tragic. He was only 41 years old. Ugh. He died over the weekend, very sad. How you know he? It's now based on the tributes that have been pouring out. It sounds like he knew he was dying. He didn't want people to know. He didn't want people to feel sorry for him. But
what he died of? Has that come out?
It does not. It's just long-term health issues. But I mean, if you've been following his career, I think it wouldn't take too long to figure out what happened.
That he was most likely going an alcoholic and had an eating disorder.
Well, I don't know if he had an eating disorder.
Where are you getting that from?
Well, he looked very gaunt in recent years, but I think a part of that is because he had a serious surgery where he lost a lot of weight from it, so it was hard for him to put weight back on. But
gastric bypass?
Ultimately, this is all speculation. And
makes it an eating disorder.
No, well, I mean, like, he wouldn't get gastric bypass because in his, you know, healthier days, he looked like he weighed less than me.
That's what makes it an eating disorder.
We're getting off rails here. Let's not speculate. It's not polite, I don't think. Let's show the guy a little respect here, please. I would really, it's been really amazing how.
I didn't mention an eating disorder. That wasn't me.
Yeah, that was my speculation, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's actually sad that no one's talking about it.
Wait, you don't think there's anything wrong with eating disorders?
But you don't know.
I don't think there's anything wrong with me speculating that that's what it is. He's obviously troubled, and I just wish that, like, the metal community would have reached out and helped him.
I thought you were kidding, to be honest with you. I was, like, sort of just...
Yeah, I don't know about the eating disorder. I think it's all related to the drinking.
And also, sometimes people don't want to be helped.
Yeah. I think that's certainly part of it, because he did say in 2015, I believe he said he stopped drinking, which I believe was after like a big incident. And then I guess just his health kept deteriorating and he probably fell back on the wagon.
And the guys in the band, there were issues between them.
But it could, but who knows if the issues between them were because of his drinking or not, you know, like what we won't know. Nobody's get, like, they're going to be all polite Finns and not really saying anything, which, you know, that's their right to do.
In 5 years, we'll do a watch along on Patreon of the documentary going to film about this band. And then we could talk about it.
Like Chris Holmes.
Yeah. Oh my God. He could take over. He could be the new leader of Children of Bodom.
Oh, what if it's by Nick Broomfield?
Oh no.
Then we'll learn nothing. We'll learn nothing about it. The whole documentary will be about how he wasn't able to get any members of Children of Bodom on camera.
And about Courtney Love having killed him.
Yeah, somehow Courtney Love is stopping this documentary as well about Children of Bodom.
We spoke to Alexei's girlfriend in high school who knew Courtney Love somehow.
He'd heard of her. Yeah. She saw Man on the Moon one time.
But, you know, it is great. He's only 41, and his first album, their first album came out when they were just teenagers. So he was like 18 or 19 when they wrote Something Wild. And, no, I know you were a huge Children of Bodom fan. Do you remember, like, how you first heard of them?
I don't remember how I first heard of them. I think it was just, like, going through a rabbit hole of music and just being really into, like, you know, Scandinavian melodic death metal, and eventually you just find out about Children of Bodom because they're so they were kind of like leaders in that genre, especially from the early 2000s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really into metal and going to shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, I you know, the last 2 days I've basically only been listening to Children of Bodom. I've went back and enjoy their entire discography, or most of it at least. I've been focusing mostly on the first like 4 or 5 albums.
We've seen them live so many times. They were just like always touring. They were on every big tour.
Yeah, I just have so many great memories of like interviewing them and being around them and partying with them. And I shared on social media. Oh, well, what I want to say was about listening to the first few albums, it's crazy to hear like in 97 and 99 with Hatebreeder. Like if you think about the state of metal music in 1999, it was Limp Bizkit, Korn, like new metal stuff, and they're doing shred and nobody's really doing it. And then when you listen
to
it now,
Rob, good Lord,
I'm not breathing because I'm talking too much, so I'm getting a little burpy.
Can't take his
When I was listening to Hatebreeder, I was really taken aback by how influential their sound was for the music that would come out in the mid-2000s with like the new wave of American heavy metal, like bands like Lamb of God and Killswitch Engage and Shadows Fall. Like they influenced all those bands. So, you know, I almost feel like Alexei, because he was always around and hanging out and like a cool guy, and might have not had as much mystique about him as some other guitar gods, that maybe he didn't get the credit that he deserved for the influence that he had on metal music.
Maybe. I mean, I think people who are like guitar geeks for sure gave him the credit, especially with all the guitar and equipment endorsements. And he was on a lot of like guitar magazines that I used to read.
Yeah, he certainly inspired a lot of people to pick up guitar. And yeah, it's just a really, really sad, sad story. And one thing I was sharing on social media, I wanted to talk about it here. You know, I was just thinking back to my interactions with Alexei and with Children of Bodom. And it reminded me of the first Metal Injection video shoot that we ever did was a Children of Bodom show. Me, Noah, Frank, actually like everyone we knew when Nick went, I believe Nina was there. I don't know. A lot of people and like honestly posting about it, I've been getting so many messages like, oh, I was at that show too. I was at that show too. And like some people that I didn't even know at the time. And it's like this venue was like, you know, 1,000 people maybe. And it was
Lamore.
Like,
Lamore.
Yeah. And like everyone in the scene was there. But so it was our first ever shoot that we ever did. We had just come up with the concept of Metal Injection a few months before, and we just gotten our time slot which was going to start in January. I like how you have a little more queued up, Noah, for your background.
I'm a professional.
We were just starting in January. That was going to be the premiere of the show the first week of January. And this show was like, I looked it up. It was like December, either 13th or 23rd, 2003. And our show is going to premiere like January 3rd, 2004, which just these dates are so long ago now that it's troublesome in a whole different sense. But I just remember we showed up to the venue. We had really, like, again, this is 2003. This is before even camera phones existed, let alone smartphones. We showed up. What's that?
We had a camera with a cassette tape in it.
Yeah, it was an 8mm camcorder, which is those little tapes where you would have to put them in a bigger tape that looked like a VHS tape to then put them in a VCR. It was so, so bootleg. And I loved every second of it. And, you know, we went to shoot, and so it was Nevermore, Hypocrisy,
oh, yeah,
Children of Bodom, and Dimmu Borgir was headlining. So we shot the first three bands, and then Noah is shooting Dimmu Borgir, and I'm right by Noah, or Noah's right by me. And like 2 seconds into Dimmu Borgir starting, and we were so amped, and we had to have been high. and totally toasted. 2 seconds into it, somebody comes and snatches the camera away from Noah's hands and goes, you don't have permission to shoot here, blah, blah, blah. And then they just take her camera away and they go away. And we're like, what the hell is going on? This is our first shoot. They just took away our camera, which, you know, was only probably a couple $100. But at the time for us, it was like, what the fuck? Like we need this camera back.
I know. We were freaking out.
We were losing our mind. Yes.
Rob, you forgot one thing you didn't realize when you said earlier how everybody in the scene was at this show. You didn't realize I was at this show.
Oh, yeah?
I was standing right by security. And the second I saw Noah whip that camera,
oh,
I was like,
my
hey,
God.
Man, I don't think she's got permission. I don't see a lamp.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I believe
by the way,
I
Noah,
do.
You can have the camera back. I'm sorry. I was just doing my job that day.
You were the head of security?
Thanks for the tip.
Always. Teamwork makes the dream work. The dream of ruining people's concert experience.
So, and thank you, Noah, for reminding me of this. So we did get the camera back because, Noah, you knew somebody. So who is this guy? Who is this guy? Igor.
Hey, I was the head of security.
No.
I gave Darren a good bribe. So I don't know how I knew this person, but this guy, Igor, he was like this goth guy who everybody in the scene knew, especially from Brooklyn College. I cannot remember how I became friends with him, but I think it was like through like Russian friends. And,
but not
Huh?
She said
not
Russian
Rob.
Friends. I'm not Russian. Oh. I'm not
a half
Russian.
No, it wasn't through Rob. I really cannot for the life of me. I think, I don't remember. Maybe like Greg knew him for sure. And, he kind of like used to hang out at L'Amour all the time, that he knew everybody and he would walk freely like backstage. So I just kind of like bumped into him, at the door. And I told him what happened. He's like, oh, okay, I'll go talk to him. Let me help you guys out. And he just come with me. So the three of us walk in with him. And I remember it all like kind of happening in slow motion. I don't know about you, Rob, but like, this
well, we were drunk. So yeah.
No, well, it was also, I guess, one of my first backstage experiences, and this whole tour was like bands that I was so into at that time. And we're walking and we just see like Loomis and Van Williams just kind of like sitting there, and Worrell from Nevermore, and Steve Buscemi from Hypocrisy is there.
A guy that looks like Steve.
Oh,
Peter Turkin. He looks
like
Steve.
Just
Buscemi.
Like Steve. I can't unsee it.
It's not impossible that actual Steve Buscemi was there too. He lives in Brooklyn, so you never know.
Alex Skolnick from the concession stand. A guy that looks like it. No.
No, actually, I had already had security kick him out too.
You're welcome.
And I just remember the tour manager for Dimmu Borgir was such an asshole. He was so mean to us.
Yeah, he was like, who said you could tape? Did you get permission? And again, this is our first ever shoot. We had no idea we needed to get permission. We didn't
know. He doesn't know it was your first ever shoot.
Oh, I disagree with Noah that he was being an asshole. He was doing his job. He was doing exactly what Dimmu Borgir paid him to do. They told him, don't let anybody. And, you know, like looking back now, I absolutely understand it. Dimmu Borgir is all about this like larger than life presentation and this theatrical stuff. Why would they want some shitty 8mm bootleg of their performance out there when they were at the time they were like putting out this like epic DVD with a symphony and like they were doing this truly, truly like grand stuff for a band their size. So, but again, this was our first time out. We had no idea about any of this. We were total greenhorns. But
you live and learn. Make mistakes and you learn.
So we're back there with the manager. We profusely apologized. We said we had no idea and like we totally understand. And it was a big misunderstanding. This guy, Igor, he vouched for us. And we eventually got our camera back and basically completely missed the Dimmu Borgir set because we were spending so much time begging for our camera back. But the thing is, like, as we were doing this, I think also then after we got our camera back, we got into this long conversation with that guy, Igor, who helped us get it back. Yeah. And we kind of felt guilty about, like, being like, hey, dude, we don't care. Like, we want to go back to the show because he just helped us. But, like, as he was talking to us, I just remember Noah, you and I were, like, exchanging looks like, oh, my God, look at all these people. Like, yeah, like, all these heels backstage we just saw, and especially Alexi, who like we already played up so much in our minds as like this big rock god, and we always joked about how, you know, like he's Noah's twin brother because they looked so alike and all that silliness. And so you know, the moment we were going with Igor, I just remember thinking like, no, we have to go say hi to him, he's right here. It's like there's no, it's not like there was a security, but it was just like a very chill, laid back room that everyone was just hanging out in.
Yeah.
So
this
we
is
could.
Where Rob's chutzpah comes in handy.
Yes. And, you know, so I just walked up and I was like, hey, man, amazing set. We're such big fans. Can we take a quick photo? And couldn't have been nicer, as I remember. And absolutely was like, oh, of course. Like, so welcoming. And then took that awesome photo that I posted. So let me show the photo for the folks. Aren't on following me on Instagram, which is like, why aren't you?
Why?
Unless you're not on the platform, which is understandable. But here's the photo. This is us losing our
babies.
Losing
Wait,
our
Rob,
shit.
You're showing a photo of you guys with Bam Margera.
No, that's Alexei.
What?
From Children of Bodom. And I loved his.
And he's wearing a
tattoo.
Fuck You Very Much shirt.
Mm.
Very early aughts.
Is that Comic Sans?
That is. That is.
Even sadder about his passing.
So it was very cool. And then he was always very nice.
Look at him holding his cigarette.
Yeah.
He's such a pro. He's like this shot. Like we look like such tool bags in this photo. But he is carrying the charisma for this photo like so hard. Like I wish I was like a third of as cool as him in this photo.
No, I have a question. When did you start wearing hats?
No, the other one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused. I found the shirt. It is definitely Comic Sans. Here it is.
Nice. Awesome. Do you think he was buried in that shirt?
I don't know. He might have
be
been
pretty cool.
He was young. I think he grew out of Comic Sans.
No,
he's an artiste. You know, they're very particular about that stuff.
And then this photo. This is from a New England metal and hardcore festival.
Yeah, and that's when we got to see Dimmu.
Yes.
We saw this tour twice.
Rob, in this photo, you look like Vin Diesel's awkward nephew. I love it.
I'll take it. I saw my earring in. Big tough guy. We literally just knocked on his tour bus after they performed a show. And we're just like, hey, can we come up and just interview you guys for like 10 minutes? He was like, of course, yeah, come hang out. Gave us a Heineken. Was like partying with us. And like just.
Were you legal age at that point?
Yeah, and it was interesting because he was talking about how he's an insomniac, and the only way he can get to sleep is if he drinks. It's just so hard to like listen back to now, like knowing what ends up happening. And he also, in the interview, this happened in 2009, he talked about, you know, the Children of Bodom, they have their crew, the hate crew, and they all have COBHC, Children of Bodom hate crew tattoos, and they talk about how they initiated Lamb of God's Randy Bly into the thing. Should I play a clip of that?
Oh, yeah. God.
I didn't realize there was a connection. Where was Randy Bly?
Oh, he was they toured.
No, I mean when Alexi died.
Oh, come on. Let's not even stop it.
Somebody had to ask the question.
Don't push it.
No, nobody has to ask the question. Hold on.
No, it's not somebody that had to ask the question. It was Sid.
Okay, here's the clip. I found it. And again, like, it's so funny to just see what I was like in 2009.
Crew, yeah. Which, you know, there's an initiation as well. He got the tattoo in Helsinki, Finland, so how cool is that?
Oh, Rob, I don't remember both of us interviewing Janne from Children of Bodom.
This is Alexi in the middle. It's not you.
The middle
is Alexi.
The hat's the only way you know it's not you.
So here they're do you hear the sound? You hear the sound, right?
Not now, because it's paused.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I just asked them how Randy got the tattoo, and they mentioned how he got it in Helsinki, and that it's not just about the tattoo to be in the hate crew.
The initiation, can we talk about this?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, you know, well, obviously the whole band and the whole crew and a couple of our, like, you know, best friends, for example, Randy and some other dudes. But it's like, you know, I have to... you have to do a handstand. Some other dude's going to hold you up.
You're naked.
Oh, yeah. First you're going to get naked, and then
right,
you do a handstand against the wall. You know, someone's going to hold you up, and someone's going to pour whiskey down your throat. I mean, but, like, I'm saying that, you know, it's going to get into your eyes, like, up your nose and shit like that.
Right.
And then after that, you're going to get smacked like fucking bitch, and then you're going to smack somebody back. And that's it.
You pass the test.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's really like...
Randy
like
did, yeah. I remember when he smacked my ass, you know, like, I started bleeding. I was like, I had blood in here. I'm like, dude, you're in.
And people...
How bad did you want to be initiated, Rob? You, like, started removing your pants. Like, I'm ready to do the handstand. I'm good. You can hit me wherever. Please.
Smack me on my butt.
Can we bring in a belt?
Please stretch my balls.
Oh, that wasn't part of the process.
They would be like, you know what?
Yeah.
No,
we'll get back to you. On this.
We're gonna go. yeah. Rest in peace, Alexi. Thank you so much for all the memories, for all the music, and for being such a great guy. And so many nice stories came out in the last few days about what a wonderful person he was. And it's sad. And we picked some songs. We have a Spotify playlist that we've been doing that we've deemed our music break. You might remember in early episodes of the show, the first 200 or so, we would do a music break. And, you know, we want to avoid a copyright issue, so we're kind of leaving that off. But we have a Spotify playlist where each week we each add a song that we're listening to the playlist, and that's kind of celebrated as our unofficial music break. And this week I put a Children of Bodom song on. The song I picked was The Nail, because there is a galloping part in the song that is so heavy that it's the one that really sticks out to me the most. And there's also Aces High. Noah, did you pick that one?
Yeah, I picked that one.
Is that an Iron Maiden cover?
Yeah. One of the things that when I first got into Children of Bodom that I really liked, it was finding, and this is like really before the internet and before Spotify, before it was easy to find music, I would find these like forums, and people would post covers that Children of Bodom did that are on like Japanese versions of albums. And I always thought their covers were so cool and so unique. I do like Aces High, which is on one of their albums, but I really love that about them. I wanted to put Synergy, I Spit on Your Grave, because he was in that band a long time ago. I couldn't find them on Spotify though. It's a really great band. And the singer is a woman. Her name is Kim. She's awesome.
Still alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She wrote a very, very nice tribute to him that got me a little choked up about how.
You want to read it and then cry on air?
No. You could see it. It's the main feature on Metal Injection.
She wrote Babe of the Day today?
Stop it. Come on. Let's show some respect.
To who am I disrespecting? You?
You're disrespecting. You're saying she can't be the babe of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sid is complimenting her.
You're close-minded, Rob.
Think she's hot.
Rob's hot right now.
Rob is having an ulcer.
Oh, I had one before the show.
I'm just rethinking who I chose as my co-hosts for the last 12 years. That's all.
Oh, come on, man.
Don't make me get security again.
The shit we said over the last 12 years, and that's what you're getting mad at us for.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Darren. I've been mad at you this whole time.
You're just holding a grudge.
Playlist.
What?
So I'm sorry, I forgot there was more songs on the playlist. Darren, what song did you pick?
Chose Antimatter by King Ghidra, aka MF Doom, who also just died.
Oh, actually, my God, yes.
He didn't just die. He died in October, but the news of him dying just came out like a few days ago. So he's a classic hip hop artist.
Very, very good.
That's my favorite album of his.
Yeah, I was also like, I didn't have time to properly mourn him because I learned while I was away, so I wasn't really listening much, but I have to listen to some MF Doom this week as well.
Died on Halloween.
Whoa.
Are we sure this is real and not some kind of like stage social media event to promote an album or something? The timing just, it all seems very interesting.
I can't answer that affirmatively, but I'm operating under the assumption that he's dead.
And have we ever seen him without his mask? Like, how would we even know?
I know he's been very secretive, but he may or may not have appeared without the mask, and I'm just not hip to it.
Yeah.
Not sure. I know that he performs with the mask on, much like Slipknot.
Is he in Slipknot? Is that possible?
I don't know. I was going to say, are there any black guys in Slipknot?
Rob?
No, there are not.
Have you written about this? Like, why aren't there's 4,500 members, not a single one is.
Why isn't there a woman? Why isn't there a woman in Slipknot? It's time for Slipknot to have a woman.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe more women in Slipknot.
Are there any paraplegics in Slipknot?
Well, the DJ, Sid Wilson, has broken his legs multiple times and performed in a wheelchair.
Does that count? No.
Okay.
So he was in a wheelchair and still in the mask?
Yeah. Well, like I believe it was like the first night of tour, he jumped off something and broke both his legs. So he was just. He was, or maybe one, I forget, but I vividly remember there being video of him like hanging with his feet dangling in casts or something. Like he was just like holding on to something. You know, he's a wild man.
Are there any dead people in Slipknot? That seems a little discriminatory too.
Yeah.
There are members. There's a member that has died.
Yeah. So there you go. That counts.
Not in the band anymore.
No. They kicked him out because he died. That's fucking bullshit.
All right. Thanks, guys.
How about your? What's your pick?
I'm gonna get a ton of great emails after this episode.
That's Sid, fine.
Sid, what's your song?
I picked Social Distortion covering the Rolling Stones. Both of those bands have people who died, so that's sort of something,
I was gonna
right?
say, what's the dead connection here?
They're dead to me. But I think like Brian Jones is dead. I think Social Distortion's guitarist died. So there you go. Not recently, but happened.
She picked the Grateful Dead. I know.
I'll be dead sooner.
It's clearly a joke. You would never do that.
Some things you don't joke about.
Oh, that's too far?
Yes, that's my line.
He's questioning whether we should have done this podcast for 12 years. By the way, in our 13th year. Just want to point that out.
Lucky.
Sid, are you going to go get some Cherry Garcia ice cream to celebrate?
No. Wait, not celebrate what?
Our 13th year.
Oh. No, I have some Ben & Jerry's in my freezer right now, but not that flavor. Netflix and Chilled. It's a new flavor. It's very nice.
Which one?
Netflix and Chilled, it's called.
It has DVD pieces in it.
Sid, is that – oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Is that name bringing back flashbacks from our final Jeopardy answer that you got
wrong?
Oh,
my God. Never live that down.
That was so fun.
Sick. Our final Jeopardy from our last episode, which is available on video for free, unlike most of our episodes, which are only available on video through Patreon. We did Sexual Jeopardy for our 600th episode, and it came down to the final Jeopardy answer. And all three of the five people who played had Dan Ozzie, Sean, and Sid, as well as Rob and Noah. The first three people I mentioned all had close to the same amount of money, and it came down to the answer, and it's a very exciting conclusion, and you won't want to miss it, so go check it out.
It's last week's episode. You could check it out at metalinjection.net/livecast. One story that happened before the break that we didn't get a chance to cover, but I think is very, very important. Oh, first of all, Noah mentioned that Peter from Hypocrisy looked like Steve Buscemi.
Mm-hmm.
I queued up some photos. And, you know, I never put it together, but I absolutely see it.
Depending on the photo, some of them look like Buscemi. Some look like Mick Mars. Some
I think it's
like
the eyes.
Go to the one.
Yeah,
where,
I guess
like, with
Johnny.
With
or Skeet Ulrich.
Oh, I was going to say Johnny Depp, but that's the same thing as Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah.
Weird-looking brother of Johnny Depp. That one that says Pain right there, that really looks like Johnny Depp playing a weird guy.
Very Jack Sparrow-y.
But in real life, he looks like Steve Buscemi.
I believe it. I think it's a combo, like a face swap or morph.
I remember when I first saw them, when they were on that tour with Children of Bodom, I didn't really know about Hypocrisy. And I just remember thinking, like, is that really Steve Buscemi? Like, is he in that?
He looks like Gene Simmons in one of those.
Oh, my God.
If you scroll up, he looks like Gene Simmons in one
Which
of those.
Which one?
Keep going. Above those, there, right there, top left.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Okay, just the glasses. Those are definitely Gene Simmons shades.
My new Hypocrisy album is available now. You won't want to miss it. Lots of blast beats.
So that's Peter Tigran. Okay. Moving on to a happier story. We learned a few weeks ago that As I Lay Dying, Tim Lambesis burned 25% of it. Yeah, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. No.
Oh, wait, did it go up to 75% of his body? Like, what's the happy twist on this?
So, if you are new to the scene, you might not know. A couple of years ago, Tim Lambesis was arrested, thrown in jail for a few years for attempting to hire a hitman to murder his wife. And when I say attempting, it's because it was a sting operation where an undercover cop disguised as a hitman met with him at a Barnes & Noble.
Disguised as a what did he carry, like a violin case? And like, he didn't disguised as a hitman.
Well, I guess what it was is that his steroid dealer or something got arrested, and he said he would help them get this guy arrested because he was trying to get a hit, something like that. I covered it all in the Metal Injection archives. You can look at it. But basically, this FBI agent pretended to be a hitman, met him at a Barnes & Noble, and Lambesis was actually being very discreet and didn't actually say the words, and it was just being suggestive. So it was a sting operation, and they couldn't arrest him. And then right as they were leaving, right at the very end, he goes, just to be clear, I want you to kill my wife. And then boom, the feds raided and he got arrested. You had it. And spent a few years in jail, got out of jail, then was in the news because apparently he was taking testosterone. And when he was in jail, they stopped giving him access to the drugs. And because of that, he stopped taking testosterone so quickly, his body started producing more estrogen, leading to him developing breasts. And that was a big story. And then he sued Sane or something like that. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, as they lay dying, ended up reuniting.
What are you reporting, Rob?
I reported it back then. This is all old stuff. I'm just recapping for the new fans. Okay, it's all in the archives.
You did so good queuing up that Children of Bodom video, and then you got lazy.
Well, I was sidetracked by all the anger I have for my co-hosts.
Is it rising? Is it higher even now?
Yes. And so we're here now. So the band reunited. Most publications stopped covering them because we were like, no. But then now I think like even one of the members of the band ended up quitting. And now we're here where he announced that he burned 25% of his body in a freak bonfire accident.
Was it his boobs? Did his boobs get burned?
I apologize to my friends. I have not time to fill in yet on what happened. The entire gas cap fell off when trying to use a little from the trickle tip to get a bonfire started.
The trickle tip?
Trickle tip?
Excuse me?
What is that about?
Trickle tip economics.
Trickle tip.
So Chuck Berry. Never got
that was a sexual jeopardy question.
I've been in the hospital since Saturday, and I'll be here for a couple more weeks. Today's surgery is to remove the remaining dead skin that we're unable to scrub
around
off.
The trickle tip?
I hope so. Poetic justice.
Staying positive, I guess. Then he posted an update today or yesterday. One of these days. One day ago.
Doesn't matter.
One day ago, he posted an update. And man, like this guy, if you told me this was just a robot and not a human being, I would believe it. He's he is devoid of emotion. Let's watch this for a second. Let me cue this up. Oh, no. Nope.
Well, we know what happens to him when he gets emotional.
Hello, this is Dan. I have been burned over 75% of my body. I used to love
swimming in the fire.
I love Tres Leches Cake.
That's another one for our Hall of Fame.
Oh,
okay,
now,
so,
now
oh,
I can.
Yes.
So here's Limbizus.
Give a recovery update. Today actually marks the first day in a little over 3 weeks that I've been out of bed for most of the day.
Pause.
What the fuck?
He does.
I can see it.
I tried to kill my esposa. What was I? The policía, they're already trying to leave in the gym, and I telling them, come back. I wanted to kill my esposa. I'm so stupid.
You're translating for our Spanish listeners.
Sí.
Okay, so here's a little more of his robotic delivery, where it almost looks like he's reading. Okay, let me zoom in a little.
Oh, why?
Oh, I see nothing behind those eyes.
Zoom.
Okay.
And yesterday was actually the first day they changed my dressings without having to scrub my wounds.
Oh, thank God.
A huge relief because scrubbing my wounds is by far the most painful part of the recovery process.
My trickle.
It's a huge relief. Doesn't he sound relieved when he says it's a huge relief? Because it's like, come on, show a little emotion.
Oh, the emotions were burned out
this,
of me.
Like, this guy's the front man of a successful rock band. Where is your charisma?
Stage.
Yeah, come on, Rob. This is the charisma that got, you know, him involved in the hitman scene. You got to throw your weight around.
See some other updates. I'm very, very thankful my face did not get burned. And for whatever reason, it's a very common question. So I should let you know my man parts did not get burned. I did lose 20 pounds.
So,
very common question.
It's weird. Like not even a smile when he says it. Like it sounds like he's making like a half joke, but he is devoid of humor.
He's a narcissist. You can see that he's like taking it very seriously.
I'm sorry. Who are all the people lining up to ask him about his fucking pecker, whether it got burned off or not?
A certain non-journalist from metalinjection.net.
No, my mind didn't even go there. I guess
I'd like to answer the second most common question that I've been asked. Did the fire singe my ass hairs? The answer is no. They are all intact. I counted them. Does not compute. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
I don't know. The whole thing is just weird. But I guess what I was going to say. What I was going to say is, I guess when he said 25% of my body was burned, people's mind immediately went to, was it your dick?
Oh.
They think that's that much of his body? That big of a dick?
And now the number three question people ask me, which roasted meat did I smell like while I was burning? The answer is roast suckling pig.
Mm.
Roast suckling pig is what I smelled like while burning.
I have to take a bite out of that vocalist.
You may not. I do not.
God damn it.
This is the fourth question that people ask me. You may not taste my succulent roasted flesh.
Oh, what a tease.
We'll be right back with the bottom six ten of the top ten as soon as we finish this word from stamps.com. This is the Tim Lambesis Burning Man podcast.
These are the top 10 questions I got after I was burned. Number one, are you okay? Yes. Number two.
he just keeps going on.
If you don't like burnt food, you should definitely try HelloFresh. They come with detailed instructions on how long to cook all the pre-prepared meals.
Another question is, how do I look this good all the time?
The answer
is, it's simple.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Question number seven. Yes, I remember that time I played your town and you were in the third row waving at me. That was cool.
Question eight. No, I don't know when I will be back on the road at your town again. Please stop asking. There are no shows in the immediate future.
I can't believe it, but the questions about my burning dick were more insightful than the non-burning dick questions. Somehow.
Question number nine. No, I don't know if 9/11 was an inside job or not. Please stop asking.
I never thought I'd say this, but please ask me about my burnt dick hole again. I beg of you.
Now I'm just picturing like a 7-Eleven hot dog, just like roasting.
It like fell on the floor. Exactly.
Yeah.
I will literally burn my dick on purpose if it'll get you to stop asking me these inane fucking metal questions.
Oh my god. So when can we get Randy Bly to push him back in that fire? When is that happening? Let's get that going. Use that for good. Use your powers for good and not evil, Randy. Come on.
I really roasted him.
We have to remind people to call the show so that Rob can take some bong rips. Especially since
I'm dying to take a bong rip. 213 Wide Nut, that's the number. And you can give us a call. 213-943-3688. And moving on in very important news, I want to discuss something that I didn't think we'd learn about. But last week, was it last week? I believe it was. We talked about Danzig's girlfriend, right? Or actually the last 2 weeks we've talked about it. I think we initially talked about it 2 weeks ago. Then we brought it up with Dan Ozzie last week.
Because it was his background.
Yeah.
And so a few weeks ago, a photo of Danzig surfaced of him wrapping Christmas presents, and we all enjoyed it. We all enjoyed it. That's right, Barefoot. He's now on WikiFeet. And the following week, or I started following his girlfriend on Instagram after this photo surfaced, because I was like, oh, what else is she going to post? And it's pretty amazing because, you know, she's like one of those Instagram models. She, of course, we...
Influencer.
She's a hashtag influencer, for sure. And so she did a Q&A, because on Instagram, there's a story feature where you could put in a text field, be like, hey, followers, ask me anything, and I'll answer it. And she was very candid and giving with her answers. And I couldn't believe how much stuff she was saying about Danzig, about her relationship to Danzig. Like, things, like, there were certain things that she posted where I was like, I'm not sure Danzig would want this information out there. And again, I want to make it clear, she is posting this to her public Instagram profile. This is not a private profile for her close friends. This is a public, outward-facing profile where she has tens of thousands of followers. So this is public posting about her relationship with Danzig. So I want to read some of these questions and her answers. So somebody asked, is Danzig your boyfriend? And she responds, soulmate, wink, 2 years now. What's Glenn's rapping skills like? Her response, perfection.
Wow.
W-R-A-P-P or...
Yeah.
That's what,
I want to hear him R-A-P-P-I-N-G.
Because that's what he was doing in that picture, right?
Yeah.
That's what I assumed.
Yes, yeah, the gift wrapping.
Disappointing.
And
question
then...
three, how much of Danzig's privates were burned in that fire?
You know he was burned in some fire.
On purpose, though.
Yeah, probably.
It's like a ritual.
One of these crazy girlfriends who he told they were soulmates. And then he finally found out he got tired of him.
Then somebody
question
asked,
four, what hair products does Glenn Danzig use on a regular basis?
And are they flammable?
Yes, they definitely are.
How are you and Glenn spending Christmas? And he responds, she responds, I'm sorry. With my daughter and grandma. Dan's like hanging out with his girlfriend's grandma and look, I don't want to
talk about,
I don't want to be an ageist,
Elvis.
but I feel like Danzig would probably be closer in age to his girlfriend's grandma than he would be to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Here's where she's asking,
he's closer in age to his own grandma than he is to his girlfriend.
This is the part of the Q&A where I was on a crapper reading this and I audibly was like, oh no, girl, no, why are you writing this? So somebody asked, do you like Glenn's music? And, she responds, I'm only familiar with Mother. I prefer Britney Spears. Laugh emoji.
Okay.
I mean, look, there's nothing wrong. I don't want to make it seem like I'm laughing at her for not being a metalhead. The why this is funny to me, like the comedy to me is not necessarily her answers, but thinking how Danzig would respond to knowing his fans are seeing her answers. That's what's funny to me, because I feel like he wouldn't want her saying.
He loves her independent spirit.
Yeah, it's why they're soulmates.
Yeah,
that's fair too. That's fair too. I mean, this is me projecting probably.
You just wish you could be her.
Yes, I wish I could be Danzig's girlfriend.
Because then Danzig would be wrapping gifts for you.
Mm-hmm. Barefoot on the floor.
Misfits, Samhain, or Danzig? What's your favorite? And then she responds,
she doesn't know any of them. She just,
well, to be fair, like, these are different people asking questions. So these are a bunch of people sending these in. So they could have been sent in before she responded to any of these. So Mr. Samhain or Danzig, what's your favorite? She goes, I don't have a favorite because I don't know any of his songs. Crying emoji. I had no idea who he was before we met. Sticking out tongue emoji. So that tells, like, that part of it is kind of like, maybe he likes that?
Well,
I don't know.
That also says that she's not, like, obviously she's not a fangirl, and she probably didn't, like, follow him backstage or something like that, you know, or, like, pursue him. It means that they just kind of met and had natural chemistry. So now I believe her soulmate's answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's real love.
Yeah, like the connection is beyond what their taste in, like, music or whatever it is.
Which makes me wonder, like, what is it about Danzig that she really likes so much, if it's not the music?
Casting skills?
Is it his Samhain?
Really good at casting movies?
Mm.
How did you and Glenn meet?
Burnt penis.
How did you and Glenn meet? Here's the answer, on the set of the Veronica movie. What happened?
She didn't know who he was. She knew at the very least he was a filmmaker.
Right. I think she meant she didn't know about his rock stardom.
She can name all his films.
What happens to the props in the movies like Veronica? Are they put away in storage? She responds, Glenn has multiple storage units and keeps the cool stuff. Can you imagine what Glenn Danzig's storage units look like?
Yeah, I feel like I could imagine.
Yeah, Nazi memorabilia.
No. Where did you get that?
Lemmy.
Mannequins of women.
Probably.
Unopened letters from Jerry Only. It just keeps them in a shoebox.
Gothic horror novels from like 1891 with lots of sex in them, which he can stand in front of a bookshelf and point to.
Yeah.
With his shirt off.
Really tight pants pebbles that he can't fit into anymore, but I'm not going to throw them out. One day I'll get back to that size.
Those fucking Papa Smurf pants.
Creepers. They're creepers.
Cat litter boxes.
Bricks.
Bricks. That's right.
So any bricks that could have been laying around the set of a movie just snatches them because you might need them later.
Yeah. You never know.
Just like your mother saves Chinese food plastic containers. Same thing.
Moving on.
I need this.
I also imagine he has, like, he's a big wrestling fan. I imagine he has one storage bin of like classic Hasbro. Yeah, like Hasbro wrestling dolls or whatever they like. Macho Man.
It looks like Sam Roberts' bedroom.
Never know when you might need a Coco Beware figure.
He had one of those, like, remember those, like, heavy rubber WWF figures from the 80s? He had the Bruno Sammartino one, but he, like, painted it to look like him.
Don't you touch my WCW ring! That is a rare licensed item! Are you okay that Glenn gets more attention than you? No offense.
Does he?
She responds, I'm not a jealous person, and he's worked his ass off to get where he is now. I'm proud, which I thought was a very sweet response.
I'm proud of the hard work he put into a thing that I have not spent any time listening to or appreciating.
I'm just going to assume on faith that he did put time into that. I won't rebut you. No idea if that's true.
Marriage to Glenn soon? Question?
Glenn who? Oh, the guy from the movie. Right. Maybe. Sure.
She responds, you never know. Sticking out tongue emoji.
Next question. Are you Jewish?
Are you feeding him properly?
Is Glenn good with your daughter? The best, she responds. That's nice.
He's not the best. Guarantee you there's a dozen guys within like the 10-mile radius that would be better than him, minimum.
Then we got before the I'm sorry, what's your favorite date that you and Glenn have been on? Probably when we were in Spain,
the one time I got him to get out of the house and put shoes on his funky ass feet that he sits around the house.
The favor.
I told him that they had a 2-for-1 sale. I finally agreed to leave the house.
Dancing Club's a good deal.
That big old fucking dad fucking flip flop junk love.
See, Danzig is the type of guy where his feet fit in those tiny chunklas. You know, usually the heel of your foot sticks out, but his feet, they're like little.
built the whole one room apartment in those chunklas that he could live in.
I just had a visual of like someone messing with Danzig's wrestling figures and him taking his chunklas and be like, "Don't you touch my tie!" And just throwing them.
It's just a dirty brown chocolate. Yeah, give me chocolate. They went and bought her daughter a fucking dollhouse at Toys R Us, and he moved in. He didn't know. He didn't know it was a toy. He thought it was a summer home. Yeah, I've been meaning to do a guest house edition. Very sweet of you, honey.
Wow, there was a little pony in there.
I always loved animals.
Before the pandemic, what did you and Glenn like to do for fun? Like the ideal date night? Concerts, dinner, watching movies, shopping for me, LOL. Now, I just, like, can you imagine, like, Danzig sitting in a department store.
In Nordstrom.
Yeah, like at the couches with all the other husbands and like a ton of bags. Just like, yeah. Come on, honey!
Yeah. Everyone's gonna close soon.
Where'd you go, Rob? Rob's
Oh no!
His name is Danzig's Chunklas.
Sorry, I brought up.
I did. I have a visual representation of Danzig. Oh no, this is a better representation of Danzig's chocolate. Hold on, let me change.
You think he ever beats his stepdaughter with? His favorite chocolate.
No, let's not get that far.
I'm asking questions.
None. Come on. Would you like to have a child with Glenn?
No,
But here's the thing: you can choose what questions you answer. She doesn't have to answer. You know,
dusty ass sperm and stage 69 can fucking.
But the other thing, Danzig is like 62 years old now. You know, like when is he gonna have time to raise this kid?
Larry King's still having kids, and he's 807.
He's about to die.
Gonna go to this fucking graduation when the kid's 18. He's gonna be 80.
God.
Oh. Danzig. Here's one of my favorites. Who's Glenn's favorite wrestler of all time?
She responds, I already told you, Coco, beware.
She responds, I have no idea. I'm not into wrestling, so I never engage with him when he's watching.
Is this woman into anything that he likes?
No, that looks so like, honey, I'm going to go upstairs and watch Raw.
I'm going to my area.
To my dancing cave.
My cave. You know me better than my girlfriend, Noah.
Here's a 1-2 punch of questions he definitely didn't want her to answer. Number one, who gets to decide what you guys listen to on the radio in the car? Take turns? She responds, me, I'm bossy.
Oh, who cares?
It's just so funny to me, Danzig having to suffer through like the LA pop stations, like listening to Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera.
He's gonna get so sick of this shit.
I think he loves based off what she says, he loves to spoil her. And mm-hmm. I think he like gets
Agreed.
Turned on by being tortured listening to that pop music, but like
spoiling
his honey.
I don't know. I think
interesting.
I think he's already looking through his Rolodex from that fucking Veronica movie.
I mean, they've been dating 2 years plus now, so it doesn't seem like a one and done fling.
Dating? How long have they been living together though?
They don't live together.
Oh, okay. There you go. Wait till that happens.
Well,
be flipping right through that Rolodex.
They know how to move. They know the pacing of a relationship.
Hey, talk to his agent. Who played that girl in the movie theater? I just want to know. I'm just curious. Send her a Christmas card.
Do you have any matching tattoos?
That girl from Petland Discounts.
She's the best girl a guy can get.
My kitty litter connect. Okay. Do you have any matching tattoos with Glenn? No, I made that mistake once already when I was 16. Laugh emoji.
3 years ago. Right before she met Glenn.
Well, no, this was also with Glenn. They just reconnected.
When you met Glenn, did you do any YouTube research and watch old classic interviews? I mean, if she did, she wouldn't still be with him. So you, I feel like you would know the answer.
Did anyone ask if she saw the video of him getting punched out?
Well, if they did, she didn't answer it.
God damn it.
That was her.
Did Glenn tell you the story of recording a song and the song recorded backwards? No, I haven't heard that one. LOL.
Now you did.
Yeah.
How much more to it than that? Spoiler. That was the end of it.
Have you been to an OG Misfits gig?
Yes.
So she's
what? Seen. How has she been to an OG Misfits gig?
Well, I think what the person was saying was like a Misfits reunion gig.
It's not an OG Misfits gig.
Well, if OG stands for old guys.
That's fair.
Serious question. Does Glenn see those dumb memes and ever laugh at them? He hates them and anyone who makes them, FYI.
Rob.
I didn't make any memes.
What are the memes? Well, give me one.
Oh, well.
What about the song that we made?
That's not a meme.
But that was about Rob. That wasn't about dancing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of parroting his voice, I guess, but that's the only thing.
It's probably just like the pictures of him with the litter and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
but also like, so yeah, like the rapping thing turned into.
Oh, the right. That's right. I forgot about that.
This, the Hitch a Sketch.
He hates them. Get a sense of humor. But
nice. Lots of fun little. There's one that shows that his rapping is to Henry Rollins. There's one of him with the Devourment vinyl.
I mean, there were so many memes with the kitty litter also.
Yeah.
Remember?
Right.
And the bricks.
Yeah, he hated the kitty litter.
Why didn't anyone put a fucking shoe on his big stanky ass foot?
I think that's... do you and Glenn go to church? Nope, neither one of us is religious. So that's that. So thank you, Ashley. Thank you so much for giving us a little peek into your...
Right. And she'll probably never do it again.
She'll absolutely never do it again because I wrote
about it. On Parler. She's only going to do it on her Parler account.
So
has Glenn come out and said anything about these answers? Has he confirmed or denied any of these answers?
He has not been publicly interviewed since these answers have come out, so I cannot confirm or deny his thoughts about it. I'll say that much. All right, well, we're winding down, believe it or not. We spent so much time
talking
about these wonderful folks, Danzig. That's it. in terms of wonderful.
And,
no, Alexi, of course, Alexi.
And Burning Man.
Well, I said wonderful folks.
Burning Penis.
The fire is wonderful.
There were a lot of questions.
The wonderful person in that story.
I feel like it's like the Hanukkah podcast because there were so many questions.
Yeah.
The bandages that had to be next to Tim Lembesis suffered a lot during the ordeal.
Like an ear candle, you know, like, have you guys ever done ear candling?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I just found some. I'll probably do it tonight or tomorrow.
Found some? Like what, on the sidewalk? What do
you found some earwax, you mean?
I found the tape that was on Tim Lambesis' ankle and turned it into an ear candle.
But you meant you found some earwax is what you're saying, right?
No, I found the ear candles at like a supermarket.
Oh.
I don't understand how putting more wax in your ear gets rid of wax.
It's not wax. It, like, you like burn the tip.
The trickle tip? Isn't that how we started this whole
problem?
You burn
the trickle tip.
No, you're going to fucking burn half your body. Be careful. Mm-hmm. Well, 25%, Rob.
Only 25%. It's fine. I don't need that part of me.
Oh, no.
As long as I get the earwax out.
Number one, what did your vagina get burned off using candle tips, candle whatever is in your
That's
ear?
That's Tim asking Noah on her Instagram. He heard you moved to the West Coast. He's scoping you out.
And Noah's emotions have been burned off, too. So she's like, no, my vagina is still intact.
It's
and my taint, everything is fine. No
handicap. My vagina ain't handicapped. It ain't handicapped. So what?
I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
Ain't handicapped.
Nothing is an obstacle to me except the staircase. Oh, no.
My vagina ain't handicapped. So what? I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
Okay. Well, I do want to play some voicemails. And, you know, we love hearing from our Metal Injection live cast stars. And we wish we could hear from you more. Last week was so fun. Our 600th episode, we did Zoom bombing, which is another reason why you should check out the video version. You can see what some of the live cast stars look like. And it was so great connecting with all of you. It was genuinely such an awesome moment. And it put a huge smile on my face. And I had a huge adrenaline rush for hours to come after the show.
All of us.
Based on how fun it was. So thank you all. And we love hearing from you. So please, if you have some feedback, if we say something during the show that reminds you of a story you have, we'd love to hear from you. You can always email us, hatemail@metalinjection.net. And if you're a little more courageous, a little more outgoing, record an audio memo or record a video and send that to us. And we'll play that and talk to you on the show. And, of course, we're live Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern to around 7:30 p.m. Eastern if you want to call in during the show.
And we should say that we would rather hear your voice than our own voices. I mean, clearly,
correct,
after 13 years, we have nothing to say to each other anymore. So please contribute.
Yeah, the only things we have to say to each other are Darren and Sid pushing my buttons and jokes that they know that I'm not cool with.
I'd just like to point out that Rob, you don't like when someone does technical screw ups and you made fun of me for not unmuting my mic today.
Oh, on his birthday, no less.
I would like to point out that you held this in for at least an hour and a half.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was taking the high road, and then you just had to say that shit.
You were taking the high road with all the jokes you've been making this whole show?
Darren,
is that taking the high road?
I didn't make a joke about you. You may defend you when Sid jumps on you 99%.
Fight.
So,
fight, Rob.
We got a great voicemail from Devin. It's been a while since we've heard from Devin. So, let me just make sure my audio.
Well, I hope he talks about what I think he's going to talk about.
He does.
Hey, what's up, Livecast? It's Devin. Wanted to wish you guys a happy 600th episode.
Thank you.
Hey, Darren. Hey, Rob. Hey, Sid. Hey, Noah. Wanted to reach out and tell Sid that a few episodes ago, he asked about if anybody drank
Rob, could you pause
whiskey
for one second?
And why they would.
I like the fact that when he said hey to each of us, we all waved, even though Devin is blind.
I
like,
he would
captions.
Never see us waving at him if he was watching this for whatever reason. But
he has very advanced captioning.
Hello, Devin.
He has podcasting for the blind.
Oh, we should do
comma
that.
Zero, comma zero,
zero,
comma
zero.
Zero.
Go on.
Do that. I am proud to say that I like it and I enjoy drinking it. I think it is fantastic, but that's just me.
Sorry, what is he talking about? What is he drinking?
The peanut butter whiskey.
Oh, the peanut butter whiskey. That's right. Yes.
I would like to point out, Devin, lovely person that he is, likes to eat fried buffalo balls. So I don't think that, you know, that's an acquired taste.
Yeah,
so
he's
maybe,
very adventurous.
Yeah.
what is that? Is Blue Mountain Oysters? Is that what they're called?
Rocky Mountain Oysters.
Rocky.
And then he talked about something else that he tried.
They're only blue if the bison hadn't been jerked off in a while.
I've had flavored whiskeys, and to me, it's just it's like I haven't tried the peanut butter whiskey, so I'll abstain obviously from commenting about that. But the only one that I could say I enjoy, like I like honey whiskey, that's not bad, and Fireball, like cinnamon whiskey.
Sid, when they don't jerk it off, it makes a creamy center.
Yeah, it's like it comes with its own ranch dip.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Malamar.
Oh no. I'll never eat one of
those
again.
Noah had asked me to call in and talk about my chocolate-covered bug experience. A friend of mine had sent me some for Christmas as a Christmas gift. I thought they were really good. They were small. They weren't big or anything. To me, it just tasted like chocolate, mostly. And I thought I would just reach out and say, hey, so...
Wait a minute. It tastes like chocolate mostly?
Yeah. It's that other part that's not tasting like chocolate.
The half a second that doesn't taste like chocolate. Yeah. But I imagine it's just like a crunch. It's like a Nestle Crunch, you know? Like, you
no,
don't really,
stop it.
Like, does an ant have flavor? You know, it's just the crunch.
Or is it chewy? Is it like caramel or something? Like dried caramel?
Hope you guys are all well, and I'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Oh. I mean, we were well. So you started talking about chocolate bugs.
Now I'm ill.
Yeah.
Can I share a really quick story that this is reminding me of since we're talking about
absolutely.
Vermin? So Avi and I have a car that needed some, to be taken care of. And it's basically a car that's been sitting in a parking spot for the last 2 years. And the check engine light has been on. So we took it to the mechanic and he called us today and he's like, so can I send pictures in this, like to this number? So I'm like, yeah, sure. And he sends photos and he's like, yeah, you guys have you have pack rats that are living in your engine.
What?
Some fucking rat ate through all the wires around the engine and through the coils. I didn't know that like rats can eat metal, and there's like these poop balls all over the place, like 500 poop balls. We thought it was like olives that were falling out of the car because it was under like a fruit tree or something. And this whole time it's been rat.
Did
poop.
You eat any?
Guys, I made a lovely salad. You want to try some?
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, I want those chocolate-covered bugs.
Yeah, those chocolate-covered bugs sound way more appealing now.
Better than olive turds.
Oh!
It's so disgusting.
Were there any of the rats in the pictures or just the leavings?
Just the poop. Let's see if I can show you. I don't know if it'll be able to come
through. Send it
to
Rob so he can screen share it instead of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Could maybe... Depending on how graphic it is, maybe we'll share it on our social media platforms.
Oh, God. So it basically, like, created a nest, I guess, because it's warm in there. Okay, Rob, I just texted it to you. And if you zoom in on the first picture, you could, like, see all the poop droppings. And they're huge.
So are you going to just drive the car off the Grand Canyon, or what are you doing?
I felt so bad for the mechanics that had to sift through the feces and to just open it up and find that. But like, apparently, especially in the desert, it's pretty common for rodents to live inside.
Oh my God.
And
so I guess
it looks like charcoal briquettes.
Oh,
it looks like dog food. Kind of.
Don't get any ideas, Rob.
Yeah.
Rob, go away.
These pet poop pellets are way bigger than I thought they would be.
I told you it's like
they're
olive
like Cocoa Puffs. I can see how you thought they were dried olives.
Every time we moved the car back out of the driveway, there were some like droppings, and I kicked them the other day.
What is this stuff? What is this like noodle?
That's its nest. It's like either stuff that was shredded inside of the engine or it brought that in to nest in
like
there.
Insulation, maybe?
Yeah. But
wow,
apparently mechanics deal with this all the time.
Ugh.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
No, they don't. But we'll pay them the big bucks for having to deal with that.
Yeah.
I felt terrible.
Oof.
Gross.
I wonder if Devin will eat one of those rat poop balls.
Actually, Noah, upon closer inspection, that's actually not a photo of your car engine. That's a photo of 25% of Tim Lampesis' body we were just looking at.
I thought that was the other 75%.
No, that's a picture of Devin's refrigerator. I'm kidding.
All right. We also have one other piece of hate mail from Davis. Long time. Davis writes, "Oh, hi. Just wanted to say thanks for all the meh moments and congratulations on 600 decent shows. Love putting your show on in the background and not really listening to it. Keep
it.
Up the okay job. Yours truly, Davis." Well, thank you, Davis. Go fuck yourself.
Oh,
come on. Great email.
Well, yeah, no, it's a great email, so go fuck yourself.
Is it like a reward he can masturbate?
In the vein of your email, I tell you, go fuck yourself.
He didn't use curse words.
Yeah, he was way more passive-aggressive. You're just being aggressive.
That's right. I'm more direct.
All right, fair enough.
And, of course, I want to take a moment to shout out our top livecast fans of the week. We love our top livecast fans. And I want to mention that you could be a top livecast fan of the week. All you got to do is donate $10 a month on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. You get access to all the bonus episodes that the $5 tier gets, and you get a special bonus shout out at the end of the show. I want to give a shout out. I want to shout out Eric, Robert Gunnush, a.k.a. Justin, and Benjamin, and Deuterino, Dan, Mini Man Skipper, Croc Destroyer, Sam Jesus, Gender, Shasur, Shasusits, Lord Croy, Station Sensation, Godstopper, Ash Boss Helloff, Dallas Robber Vampiro, Shane Hugo Likes Tacos, and Lando Diggs. Perilous Patches, Douglas, who are you, Levison? Thank you all.
Okay, well, I like that.
That's our show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. R.I.P. Alexi, Leho, children, Bodum, 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 Bodum.
Your neighbors think that you're crazy.
Thank you, Tim Lampesis' brown, charred, shriveled penis.
Oh.
It's the good 8-bit cover. Bye!
Bye.
Never gonna end.
I'm distracted.
No, I do it to anything. Okay.
Wow.
Good show. Good show.
Great.
But I would seriously like to stop with the Randy Bly pushing people off stage stuff, especially like talking about Alexi. I don't think that was funny.
Well, I mean, we didn't really say pushing. He just said, "Where's Randy?" Maybe
yeah, I just don't want. I don't want to make those jokes anymore. I mean, I've never been into the jokes.
But you laugh even as you say that.
No,
it's so funny.
It's not.
All right.
I like the all the questions and stuff. That was so funny.
Yeah,
and
that was really good.
A theme.
Yeah. That could be one of the clips for this.
Yeah,
week.
And sorry for putting on the spotlight at the top of the show, Darren. It was just a joke popped into my head.
It's okay. What I wish we wouldn't have done is do the birthday call-in thing when we have like 8 live listeners. It just makes it look like nobody loves me, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
If those people decide not to call in.
Yeah, we don't really have too many live listeners. Like, so I guess we had 58 playbacks, 9 peaked concurrence. So yeah, I guess we shouldn't really be.
It kind of makes, you know, I mean, I got
a happy birthday
by like lots of Facebook people, but, and in the chat, but it just looks like, oh, nobody likes you.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine to mention the number at the top of the show, but not to be like, for every caller we get, we'll.
Yeah.
That's sort of setting up a failure.
But at least you just mentioned it the one time, and then we sort of let it go. It wasn't like a constant.
Why don't we just take that out so it doesn't look like a fucking, you know, big bomb?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I barely remembered.
Yeah. I don't think people are going to be that big about it. All right.
Do you mind? I mean, it's my birthday. Can you do the 10-second thing and take it out? I'd appreciate it.
Sure. I was gonna say for the clips, the hypocrisy thing, that was like a really quick thing where comparing him to
Steve
Buscemi.
Okay. I'll put this in the group chat.
And the questions during Tim Lambesis, or is that too mean?
The Danzig thing is what.
But didn't she kind of not like that you wrote about it? I don't know.
I guess we don't want to do that. Yeah, I guess I don't want to. Poke the bear. I've been avoiding promoting it in case somebody send it to her. Yeah, I guess we don't want to pull any of that.
So
but that
the
was really fun.
Hypocrisy, Buscemi, what else?
I think the questions for Tim Lambesis.
We wrote that already.
If there was some part of the Alexi thing where we do something funny without like any like dark jokes, maybe something about us like. Part of the anecdote where we talk about meeting him backstage.
Or what about the thing with the hate crew and the initiation and you wanting to be initiated?
Oh, yeah. That was a funny one. Even as a quick clip.
As long as there's no Randy jokes in the clip, because it was about initiating Randy. But
I'll put the Randy jokes in.
Yeah, that's totally cool. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like if you just end it where... whoever made the joke says,
yeah, it could be a quick
how badly did you want to be initiated?
That was way past when we did any Randy talk whatsoever. It was right in the beginning of when Alexi came up.
So that's good.
It actually resurfaced during the Tim Lambesis part. Not during that. It was only in the beginning of the Alexi part. I remember because Rob zoned out immediately.
The defense mechanisms went up.
Well, I don't want to say something. I mean, it doesn't really matter because, like, I would be linked to it regardless. But
I know for a fact. The only thing I said was I told Sid, don't push it. That was the only joke that I contributed to that. And I couldn't help myself. I was wrong. Sorry. But at least I was scolding Sid. That excuse.
All right. But anyway.
So we're all good with 6 o'clock on Thursday to talk about that documentary?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I have to watch it by then. But yeah.
It's like an hour, 40 minutes, I think.
It's a very easy watch, I remember.
It's great. It's good. I liked it.
Cool.
I think you'll like it too.
Yeah, I'll probably just watch it right before just so it's like fresh in my mind for
our chat.
Very fresh.
Oh, wait. And we had for the meme Hall of Fame the tracheotomy guy.
Oh, we have to.
We could even play the commercial, the PSA.
Yeah, we can have a lot of fun. That could be like basically a whole.
That's episode. Like a whole show.
Oh, and the IO Digital Cable commercial. Then we could just do a whole.
Oh, just a whole. He has local commercials that became
Latin flavor.
Yeah. We could do those, and then the Bronx Borough President, the Great Yankee Stadium,
Our Great Yankee Stadium.
There's like so much.
And we're here to celebrate Anthrax Day. Fuck, like he never heard of Anthrax before that.
He's a huge fan. What are you talking about?
And they ran from the Bronx so fast as soon as they made any money.
He's more of an Anthrax fan than Danzig's girlfriend is a Misfits fan.
Neck and neck, but you're right. Hey, we're here to give this medal to this little 4'11 guy right here. Scott Ian. I'll save it the rest of the show.
Oh,
this is my little buddy.
Get some nookies.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you guys.
See y'all on Thursday.
Bye.